If I were to stop this podcast tomorrow after releasing this episode, consistently above average would be etched into history alongside some of the greatest of all time. The creator of 2006's iconic Back to Black, Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Joseph Merrick, aka the Elephant Man, among countless others, all dead at 27. Consistently above average would nestle in nicely among those greats and join the 27 club. You'll have to tune in next week to find out if that is going to be the case, but for now, episode 27 of Consistently Above Average is underway. Did I just say join the 28 club? I may have said that. I meant the 27 club. Anyway, that's today's intro. You can see by the title of this episode, the great open mat U-turn of 2025 on the way for you now from Andrew McGahan. In the space of the last couple of months, I think I've changed my tone slightly. Podcast enthusiasts of this particular show will know that it started as a run-up to the Nogi Europeans and Worlds, where alongside it we also ran several open training sessions for people who are getting ready for competitions. And that's something that you may see a little bit more of later on in the year. But in terms of 2025, I've competed once this year, and I feel that that was after a fairly hectic no-gi run-in towards the end of last year because of that. But since Gi Europeans, which is really only like 7 or so weeks ago, I feel like I've been in a very good schedule and a routine of teaching and training. I've even started to take the advice and listening to my body a little bit more. I've dropped a couple of sessions that I was doing. I now take a day off or so at the weekend, and as well as sessions off during the week. This was causing, so for example, we'll finish training on Saturday afternoon and won't train again until Monday daytime. So 2 days off. And then I will take Tuesday night off and I will take Thursday night off and I will train in between all of those sessions. So this was causing a particular lag in my training around those Tuesday and Thursday nights. Going into an evening class, it could have very regularly within the last year been my third session of the day. Maybe I was up from 5:30 or 6 that morning, taught a class at 7, trained at the class afterwards, was then in at 12 o'clock, trained at that class as well. So when it comes to that evening session, I was feeling quite depleted. And there are people who are coming in fresh. Now, fresh in the sense that some of these people had just done a day's work, like a longer period of work than I had throughout the day. So that's no real excuse. But my body was a little bit beaten up. It was getting sore. And it just felt like some of my reactions were a second or two off. And I was leaving some of the sessions feeling worse about my jiu-jitsu because I felt I knew that I wasn't performing or doing as well as I should have been doing in some of those positions. And then regardless of how you felt with that, you had to go home late enough in the evening, probably eat something crap. That was my own fault, not blaming anyone else for that. And then get up the following morning to go and do daytime training, either with one or two other black belts at 10:30 or the 12 o'clock class, where you could regularly have multiple purple, brown and black belts at those daytime sessions. So add that on over the course of a couple of months, and you're running yourself down, burning the candle at both ends. And the body, as we said before, the juice was not worth the squeeze. Now, I've noticed the benefit of changing that schedule around the last 7 or so weeks, from my perspective anyway. And whether it's just luck, whether it's just feeling slightly different, maybe my coach Seb has been on a very good streak with the curriculum and what we've been doing and enjoying that and being able to work certain things into it. What we've been working on, how we've been working on it with different types of rules for the first couple of rounds of sparring, or even in the positional sparring, not just making it as simple as, okay, you're trying to sweep, you're trying to pass. So I've definitely seen a benefit so far. Don't want to jinx it, touch wood, by all accounts. But the thing that kind of shook this point home to me that the change-up was doing well was that last weekend I was invited to a training session up in Belfast by friends of the podcast at Newground Jiu-Jitsu Academy, Marty, Simon, Reedy. They had their winter camp on with different seminars over the course of 3 days, But on Saturday morning, they had organised a session for a couple of higher belts and people to come in and train before one of the seminars. And this would have been my first open mat type different gym training session since New Year's Eve, when we went to Royal Grappling Academy on New Year's Eve. And I have to say it was brilliant. Very high level mat, very high pace. Newground is an unbelievable gym, aesthetically unbelievable gym anyway, but great training environment. The room gets really warm, can get quite slippy, good for scrambles, not great for wrestling, doesn't matter, not a wrestler anyway. But the level of people who are doing no-gi rounds, and then we did a handful of gi rounds at the end afterwards, it had me tanked. And then on Monday, I went to Brew Grappling Academy to see Sam McNally and did his gi class and no-gi classes back to back, which ended up clocking in at around 2.5 hours of training when you add the two of them together, which is very good. Now, I feel that these two sessions were quite beneficial from the perspective that with the schedule change, I've been trying to get better at certain specific things since the Europeans, things that I felt that I was not good enough in January and need to get better in terms of competing against higher people, higher level people. And when you're training a lot with the same people all the time at different classes, these two sessions gave me the opportunity to train with people that I had not trained with in a while and see if some of the new stuff that I was trying against people who I hadn't trained with in a bit was able to be effective. So this is not the case, but for example, if I felt people were escaping a straight ankle lock too easy, was I able to then use it to regardless come up on top and start passing in a pressure pass position? Or was I able to track the footlock and transition into a better one, maybe like a belly down footlock, or to try and say work towards the back? Okay, just simple enough example like that. So trial and error in that sense. Of course, I absolutely no way, shape or form did I win every round. But some of the specifics that I had gone into both training sessions as like high priority sort of thing, like score from this position, retain from this position, see can you link two things together from this position, I felt like I got those sort of things off quite well. And because I had marked them internally in my head as something much needed improvement against higher level people or high level people, I found like that was definitely worth it. So the little trial over the last 7 weeks, expose your best game to the people who train with you the most so that they get more time of trying to beat it. Go to an open mat, try and use it against people that aren't as clued in or up to speed on what your primary game is, and see can it work as efficiently as possible. So the next thing for me now is over the next however many weeks to try and add on to the things that worked, and then in turn counter some of the problems that I came up against in the last week, like people being able to keep me on my back, for example, like this new passing style of being able to gas a person out with your passing style, not necessarily trying to commit and finish the pass, more so try to tire the person out over the 30 to 41 minute seconds, 1 minute of keeping them in a bad position, and you're just fighting for survival to retain your guard, is legit. It's very, very good. And definitely need a little bit more experience of coming up against that. And while I would have previously, as you've heard in other episodes here, probably titled about open mats are fantastic or something like that, been a huge advocate for being able to try to go to other places and do that very regularly, for me at least, I found that I was just getting into a survival or a scramble, almost even an internal try to win the round and not get beaten situation, as opposed to not opening up your game to try and work in the things that you need to improve. Potentially the most arrogant thing I will ever say on the mat, but I'm going to preface it on this podcast. As a black belt, you walk into an open mat of another gym, that is a target. Whether other people are comfortable enough saying that, or other people are saying like, no, man, that doesn't happen, I can absolutely guarantee you, as the person who's been on the receiving end of some of the roles of people that I've trained with over the last 2 years since I got my black belt, it is absolutely a target on your back. Maybe not a malicious target. Maybe someone just wants to test themselves against the black belt, train hard with the black belt. That's completely fine. But spoiler, getting a scalp over Andrew McGahan is not the crown jewel that you think it is, all right? There's a chance I'm going to let you pass if I'm tired here, because I actually think I have a better chance of submitting you from bottom side control or north-south than I do from within the guard when you're actively trying to not be submitted. So, again, that's a bad habit from the perspective of competing. But if we're getting into this competition or this intensity where I feel like you're coming at me here trying to submit me and you're going hard on certain things, that's grand. We will move the position to where I feel that I have the best chance of submitting you. And unfortunately, if that's bottom side control, that's bottom side control. And so, like, these things are, and I'm, by the way, completely in favour of that. Do you know what I mean? If a black belt walks into another gym and they're coming to an open mat, that local gym's blue competitors, purple competitors, brown competitors, black competitors, they should be trying to defend their house. This is their house. Of course they should be trying to impress or put a good, do you know what I mean? So that their coach might see them. Oh, I swept that black belt. I took that black belt's back. I took that visiting brown belt's back. These things happen more often than you would believe. I'm telling you that much now. So because I have felt that I have had a longer period of time, in the sense of, say, 7-8 weeks, to work on some of these things, I feel like I've developed more confidence in them. And this meant that at those two sessions last week, I felt much better to go for these things in the open sessions, as opposed to feeling like I was falling behind, surviving, retreating into a shell, not wanting to get submitted, not wanting to feel like I was getting tanked and stuff like that. So it actually gave me more confidence to go for what I consider to be my better game at the minute. Maybe I could be honest with myself in saying that I feel I had been coasting to an extent at some of those training sessions in the past. I considered myself to have a good guard, but I don't consider myself to have a great guard, for example. And I was probably taking a couple of things for granted in my ability to recover guard or play off my back or react and play off certain positions, that these are things that I'm working on to try and get better for when I meet up with some other people in the next month or two to, like, train and prepare for the Masters Europeans in May, which is the next goal and the next target. There is a tournament in April. There's two tournaments in April that I'm considering doing. One is the IBJJF Dublin. The other is the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam in London. London has prize money on offer, so I'm more likely to go and do that at the minute. But they're both on the same day, which is annoying. So we will figure that bridge out in the next week or two, just depending on how training is going. So the question is, have I done a full 180 degree turn? Am I about to throw the concept of open mats under the bus entirely? Now, no, I'm not. All right. I'm not going to say that they're pointless and that going to loads of different gyms isn't a good thing. Not at all, because it is. But it is really dependent and, like, on what your ambitions and what your objectives are. It can also be dependent on how much of a taking control of your own training. How much studying are you doing outside? Like, are you doing twice the amount of outside of the mat study on techniques and mental practice and mental work, so that going to an open mat means you get to practice those things? Or are you the type of person that needs physical training reps to be able to then get that into your head to try them? Those two things are entirely different as well. I also really enjoy teaching and training on a Friday night in Dundalk, and I have enjoyed it for the last little while. There's become a very good group of people who are coming to those classes who are looking to compete or looking to train hard, and we can work on specific things. And even if there's a set technique for the class, I might be able to sit with one or two pairs and say, okay, and I want you to try and add this on, because they're the ones that are going to be competing. But everyone is still getting the same technique, just one or two people, two or four people, whatever, are getting a tiny bit extra so that they can then try that in their sparring. And then we can train hard, okay, which is the goal of every well, most training sessions to a degree anyway. This was previously a session where I would have been happy to get it covered so I could go and train somewhere else and do other things in life. But the reality is you need to water your own garden. If the garden isn't being watered, if you're not tipping the can, watering, tending to the garden, you won't grow the flowers. The flowers won't grow, and you won't be able to grow flowers that can pass your guard at training. That's what I'm trying to say. That is, of course, if flowers could pass guard, they can't. They're only really known in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for sweeps, flower sweeps. Hopefully you get the analogy here. The grass is not always greener. Tend to your own shit first. Improve your own surroundings. Improve your own environment that you're going to be around more often than you're going to be able to be at an open mat. And you're going to get better training. To a degree. So, I've also been told this. Here's the rumour mill. Okay, here's the gossip. There were a handful of people, you could call them open mat enthusiasts, who would... Like, right, first of all, I'll preface this by we once had a person a couple of years ago drop into a session who... The session hadn't started yet and said, oh, you have no music on. I'll connect my phone to the speaker. And then put his music on the speaker. And we all said nothing. That's our fault. We said nothing. But we said nothing because it was such a shocking thing to see happen. We were like, did that actually just happen? And the fella came in, tried to roll incredibly hard with lower belts, who are significantly lighter than them, may have ran into a mat enforcer character. After that role got changed and left. And the mat enforcer character did not do anything untoward. He literally rolled the exact same way that person had been rolling with lower belts. So, like, imagine, well, can I throw my music on? That's a wild one. That's a wild one. Anyway, I have heard, and this is from people involved in gyms and stuff like that, in the past couple of years, that like open mats are generally free. Some people do have drop-ins. You should always ask, is there a charge? If you're going to be there quite regularly, consider buying something from them. Rash guards, t-shirts, stickers, a load of waters, something to help pay your way. Anyway. But this one person had told me before that as long as they know that someone is paying a membership into another gym, like into a jiu-jitsu, into the jiu-jitsu ecosystem, those people are welcome to come and train at an open mat. But let's put this into context of, say, moving it to London, where I've heard stuff like this going on as well, that there could be five gyms that do five open mats that are free of charge over the course of the week and they happen to be on different days, just by complete fluke or chance. A person could move there for work as a purple belt and doesn't stick to one particular team, doesn't want to join one particular gym because they're giving off about how expensive the gyms are. But they'll go to an open mat. But they'll end up going to four or five different open mats a week and not pay anyone anything because they're just going to different places all the time. Now, you could argue they're not getting directly better. They're just rolling. And I suppose you could say, like, well, like, maybe they just want to train and they just want to work out and whatever. And I suppose that can be fair enough as well. But I think it would end up, I think from my perspective, I would end up finding that a little bit irritable and I would be annoyed by it. And I have no idea why. But maybe it's because these people who run the sessions, like running an open mat or doing an open mat, like, you're the person who's left staying late. You're cleaning the gym. People are hanging around. That's grand a little bit longer. That's fine for a chat. But compared to a class that might be on during the week, you're probably getting home a little bit later. Cleaning up the gym. And you're having to do a little bit more because someone has flooded the showers or because, you know, they've walked somewhere where they shouldn't have walked and traipsed all the water with them. They've left their boxers in the changing room or their sports bra in the changing room. Not just the lads leaving boxers in the changing room, just for the sake of saying that. Bottles of water all over the place, not in the bin, tape all over the mat, different stuff. So while these things are acceptable if you're running a gym, but it's more acceptable if they're your own students who are paying you a monthly membership and you're cleaning the gym anyway. Okay. But for example, if they're Joseph, if you're listening, I just made that name up. If you're Joseph, who just, you know, Shaka, just loves jiu-jitsu, Shaka emoji, loves jiu-jitsu, bro, just want to train hard, leaves his arse behind him when he's leaving, it might start to grate on you a little bit differently when it comes to those type of sessions. My own coach, Seb, said to me this week when we were chatting about the training and training with other people and stuff like that, like, open mats, when you're preparing for competitions, should feel like a school exam or a test, okay? That you study at home. I'm not going to do Seb's accent because I'll just get absolutely emptied next time I train with him. But you study at home and then you go and do your test. If you're focused on improving in a certain way, then you work on the thing that you need to work on at home, like when you're still in school and you have exams coming up on. You're then blind by the exam that's going to be put in front of you on the day, which is the open mat, because you don't know what's going to come up. And then X, Y, or Z comes up. So it's your study against their study, okay, to a degree, if that makes sense. So it's like you study at home, you go to the hall for the exam. The exact same way, you train in your gym, you go to the hall for the competition. So there's another element of this that, if you're not a competitor, which is completely fine, if you just enjoy training and the different elements that come of it, then to your heart's content, go on ahead. Just go with the respect. Do you know what I mean? Go with the friendliness. The best example I can give of this, Conor McCann and his dad, Bill, two of the friendliest people that you have ever crossed paths with at an open mat. Two of the most respectful people that you've ever crossed paths with at an open mat. Hopefully they're both listening in different rooms of the house and they're going to walk and meet each other in the hallway now and hear, just hear that. That's nice of them. Like, and there's countless of other people that I've become incredibly friendly with through these open mat sessions over the last year or two. They've absolutely got a different perspective than me, and that's completely fine. Like, in the future, again, I might do a whole U-turn on this again once I feel that my game is good enough to just chat into open mats every week and just not have to worry about getting emptied by the competition purple belt or competition blue belt. I might contradict myself entirely in the future and think, do you know what? Mercury must have just been in retrograde the day he recorded this podcast, saying he's gone off the open training a little bit, the open mats a little bit. Mercury was in retrograde actually yesterday for my astrology listeners out there. I'm sure you all were already aware of that. And then finally, like, this week, I feel like I have bridged a couple of gaps in terms of what was giving me a lot of trouble in rounds beforehand. It's not to say that I'm not going to get tanked or emptied again in the future, but we will call it a breakthrough in certain positions. A lovely light bulb above the head moment for me, a eureka moment in training. And within that, it sparked a conversation about when I was talking to other black belts and my coach. If you were in my shoes, what do you do next? And if I'm being brutally honest, what am I worst at? What do I need to get better at? Quick. Now, the funny thing about this is that to anybody listening who does training, or maybe in even any element of life, you could ask that same question. What's the one area that I need to improve on the most? You already know the answer. Generally speaking, you already know the answer. You're just looking for some sort of affirmation or encouragement from somebody. Now, is it your diet? Is it cleaning your room? Is it getting your guard passed while you're attempting a triangle choke from your back? Is it your sleep habits? Is it your personal relationships? Is it your stress management? Is it your road rage? Is it how much money you spend a week on oat flat whites? That might be my one. Is it your reactive habits, like eating takeaways, drinking cans of Coke, taking stuff you shouldn't be taking at the weekend? Generally speaking, you know these things better than somebody else because you're the one living inside your brain, inside your head. But we often put stock on what another person can tell us in that moment. There is the case that I've experienced countless times where people have suggested, you know, maybe the daily cannabis use isn't the move here. Maybe at this point in your life, it's just not the move, not the best. Like, you kind of look like you've been dragged through a bush here every single day. Just may not be the best thing for you right now, you know, for your brain and development and mental health. Of course, they just didn't understand, man. They just didn't get it. They were squares. They were nerds. Free the plant. Duh. That's what was that. That's what that was about. They were wrong, not me. There is a quote that you will only ever understand the value of the advice when you need it. And I think that is definitely something that can resonate to the previous story, but it is particularly true. And this whole discussion and whole thing when I was writing out notes and stuff like that reminds me of a book that I read about 12 or 13 years ago on the advice recommended by previous guest Dara O'Connell. The book is called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And while I have since thought that these books do have a purpose in the world, like The Secret and different stuff like that, if the person themselves is not going to do the work required, then there is no point in even starting them. Do not talk about manifesting and positively visualizing and telling yourself you're going to be a world champion if you train 90 minutes a day, four times a week, okay? That's not going to happen, okay? Now, if I remember a chapter of it, I have remembered it because I've used AI to help me. So there's a chapter in it called The Mastermind. And thankfully, because AI has gotten so good, I can just read it out to you in a summary instead of me going back and reading the chapter again and then making a hames of it. So there's a passage that explains the importance of having a board meeting in your mind with the five most influential or important people that you can think of to help you get to where you want to get to. And it's explained, as ChatGPT said, you're referring to a passage from Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, in which he explains the concept of mastermind and the importance of mentally assembling a board of advisors. Hill encourages readers to imagine a group of the most influential and inspiring people, whether living or deceased, and mentally conduct a meeting with them to guide your thoughts and decisions. Key ideas of the board of advisors concepts. Number one, mental mastermind group. Hill suggested that you can create a mastermind group by choosing the five individuals who you admire or have knowledge in the areas that you want to grow in. These individuals don't have to be physically present. They can be people you admire or respect for their wisdom, experience, or success. Use of imagination, point number two. In your mind, you meet with these individuals in a room and you have a conversation with them. You can imagine yourself asking them for guidance or wisdom on specific topics or challenges you face. You may not necessarily ask them directly. It could be more about absorbing their thoughts and attitudes towards success. Just trigger warning here. This information now, if it was re-released, could cripple the online personal training business mentor market in a heartbeat. Why pay someone a month? You can just mentally visualize yourself talking to them. You get the same results. Number three, harnessing collective wisdom. Napoleon Hill believed that you can tap into the collective consciousness or wisdom of these great minds to help you overcome challenges and push forward with your goals. The idea is that in these meetings, you're not just alone in your thoughts, but you're drawing strength and insight from these great figures. Number four, the power of surrounding yourself with success. The passage underscores the idea that your mind and thoughts are powerful, and surrounding yourself mentally with greatness, wisdom, and success can help shape your own attitudes and actions. This visualization technique is a way to reprogram your mindset to align with success and to receive insight from these advisors. And number five, improved self-confidence and clarity. By regularly having these mental meetings, you build confidence in your decisions. You begin to trust the wisdom that arises in your mind, knowing that it is influenced by the minds of those whom you respect and admire. In practice, in Think and Grow Rich, Hill suggests that this exercise can be done daily, where you imagine sitting in a room with these five people, talking about your goals, plans, and challenges. Each of them offers advice based on their life experiences, successes, and values. For example, you might imagine Thomas Edison offering advice on perseverance, or Abraham Lincoln providing wisdom on leadership, or Dave Portnoy on what makes a good pizza. I added that bit in. Now, the key takeaway is that by mentally engaging with the most brilliant minds that you can think of, you're training your own mind to align with the kind of thinking and actions that leads to success. This technique is a form of mental conditioning that taps into the power of your subconscious mind. And the reason why it works is that this exercise will help you to internalize positive habits and attitudes by immersing your mind in the collective wisdom of successful individuals. It influences your subconscious, creating a stronger belief in your ability to succeed and aligning your thoughts with success-oriented behaviors. Additionally, it can spark creative solutions and new ideas because you're effectively brainstorming with some of the most brilliant minds in history, even in your imagination. Would you like to explore how you might set up your own board meeting or choose the individuals you'd like to include? No thank you, ChatGPT, but thank you for the summary. Now, the point that I'm trying to make here as we wrap up this week's podcast is that a lot of what I've just spoken about, you are the key driving factor here. It's you that's doing it. You have not created a time traveling portal to actually be able to speak to Abraham Lincoln. You are asking yourself, what would they do? WWALD, the famous acronym. What would Abraham Lincoln do? Right? If you got to sit down with Hodger Gracie, Marcelo Garcia, Thierry Henry, Cesc Fabregas, whatever your sport or pleasure or idols or whoever are in whatever you do, anyone that has been to the summit, at the peak, or in the pinnacle of their sport that you're doing, you already know to a degree what they're going to tell you. Because as we talked about earlier, maybe it's the old flat whites. Maybe that's the problem. And when you got chatting to this person, you say, geez, I'm spending 200 quid a week on an oat flat white. I can't help it. To be like, well, that's the problem. And then they tell you to stop it. And you would put stock on that because Marcelo Garcia told you to stop drinking oat flat whites. You would stop drinking oat flat whites. Assuming it was the right time to receive that information, of course. So these people are not sitting on some sort of secret information and withholding it from you. You already know what you need to be doing. You just aren't fully doing it for whatever reason. And that's fair enough. You may have to do some work and figure out why that is. Or the other thing that I don't want to take away from, maybe you have been doing it, but you just haven't been doing it for long enough yet to see the benefit or to get the breakthrough or to strike the gold or to be that stereotypical example of the guy chipping away at the tunnel and then walking away raging when the other guy comes back and hits it a few times, bang, gets the gold. Okay? You just have to trust that you are doing the best that you can, the most that you can, and just keep going until it works. So when you see me posting a video in the next few months of me touching my toes for the first time, or my increased flexibility, or my better skincare, or that I'm just back from Turkey with all those hilarious little dots all over my head from getting my hairline done, you'll know why, won't you? You'll know why. Because I just had a mastermind with the five best hairlines that I can think of. And now look, I've manifested it by paying the money to go to Turkey. And I've manifested that hairline. Bang. Beautiful. Chat to you next week if we make it out of the 27 club and we move into number 28. Good luck. Have a good week. Happy St. Patrick's Day, guys.